BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Adam and Joe in Glastonbury, back together in perfect harmony. Now we've finished our shows, but here's a podcast to listen to for free.
Oh yes, top quality. Top quality stuff.
And that's in the live background, acapella jingle.
You
that's
might
never
be able to
before.
Hear the man himself going crazy. There was a sort of unkind rumour flying around the site earlier today, mainly spread by cornballs, it has to be said, that Wonder was going to come out and sing like an hour's worth of new stuff and then just do a medley of hits at the end.
A 4-minute high-speed medley of hits just to keep the crowd happy.
After his
it's
sort
still
of
possible.
New
do
direction.
Do you think McCartney will come out for Ebony and Ivory? There are rumours flying around that he's here.
No,
I mean, imagine what the crowd response.
I don't believe
would be.
Anything that Jay Korn says.
Well,
though.
You're quite right. I just
after
made it
a day
no
of
one
rubbish.
Said that at all.
No, well, maybe the Edge is still around. He was playing with Muse last night, of course, where the streets have no name.
But listen, folks, it's time for the last of our three Glastonbury podcasts.
Yeah,
these are the highlights of our third show here on Sunday at Glastonbury 2010. And what a day it's been!
Well,
right?
Today, of course, was Ball Day, Sport Day.
The day of death.
It's
the death
been
of football.
The last ball day for a while. I think that Britain is just going to stop
you know,
thinking it, about and talking about football.
It's made
for a
me
while.
Feel slightly bad because you and I very much trumpet our disinterest in football, and we've been quite actively cynical and sarcastic about the whole thing. But seeing the looks of woe and distraughtosity in the fans' faces, I felt genuinely sorry for them.
Yeah, obviously, no one likes you know. No
was
one likes
feeling
to
slightly
see.
Pleased that we hadn't wasted our time investing any emotional energy,
any energy whatsoever into it. Plus, we got to just babble in a ludicrous way about our own fantasy football World Cup, which we'll be doing later on in the podcast. But still, it's not nice to see anyone who cares about something very deeply have their faces rubbed in a giant pile of dog muck, which they did today.
Oh dear.
Anyway, here we go with the podcast. We'll be back at the end.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, good evening from the big British castle. Adam and Joe are at the Glastonbury Festival. It's a simply lovely evening, only slightly spoiled by all the litter and yachts, a dreadful deafening pop. When will it stop?
This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, back at Glastonbury for our final night of coverage.
Oh, it's gone so quickly.
From perhaps the greatest of all the Glastonbury festivals, the 40th anniversary. And what a wonderful day it's been.
What a wonderful day.
I mean, not for everybody.
There's been a major anomaly in the wonderfulness, hasn't there, this afternoon,
been
if you're interested in sport ball.
There's been a kink in the wonderfulosity.
If you want further sport news, then this is the right show for you to stay tuned to.
Yeah, all the other sports shows, Corden's show and, you know, people,
Piffle.
And the other big sports shows have channeled their
Saint
coverage
and Greavesy.
To this one, Saint and
do
Greavesy.
Do they still exist?
Yeah, they're on Saturday
sure
afternoons.
They do.
And they are advising people just to listen to our show for all the latest
analysis. Bobby Moore's Big Ball.
And coverage, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Sure I do, yeah. Bobby Moore's Big Ball was great. What was your favourite section?
It wasn't about football.
Was it not? It was a self-examination programme.
He just guessed it on Richard and Judy. In the late 90s. Are you all right?
Yeah, I was just...
It's sunstroke. Sorry, listeners. It's
we
still very sunny. We got mild sunstroke.
We had supper at the...
And we got so excited
during
the game.
We had supper at
we
Eat
were
to the Beat. And then we all sat outside in the sun. It was like being on holiday. It was like being by the Riviera.
We were working very hard.
Obviously, but
day.
You're allowed, still allowed a break.
Mm,
right?
Okay.
And we were a bit like on in your right ear. You've got Ray Davis. Actually, no, it was Jack Johnson singing his wet surf songs. That's the wetness of the surf. I'm
of course,
about. I'm not talking about the fact that they're weedy songs. And then in your left ear, you've got.
You sound mildly psychotic
I
today.
Know,
when people say a word, let's start loving in the middle of the word. That's a trait I associate with psychosis.
Really?
Yeah.
If they start laughing, that's
in
that's
the middle of the word.
I associate that with joie de vivre.
Joie de vivre, you're right. Joie de vivre, psychosis, there's a thin line.
MGMT could tell you
that.
If you
get too happy, you just go mad. Anyway, you were saying?
I was just saying that in the left ear, you've got MGMT, you know, drifting across the fields, and they're having what looks like the gig of their life as the
it
sun goes down. Beautiful ladies dancing around with him there, and
they were distributing flowers to the crowd.
The main guy, what's his name?
Roy Penalties.
Johnny Pillpot. He's going down there with his
Ron Penalties.
Ron Penalties is the manager of the English football team. All right, listen, we'll get into all that later on, but we'll take a moment to calm down.
There are some clouds. There is a fence. There is Jack White looking intense.
Joe, mate.
Mate.
Obviously, the big band of the weekend is Empire of the Sun.
Obviously.
And they are playing... Have they already played the... they're playing tonight.
Yeah, any minute now, aren't they? Are they?
On the park stage, which is commonly agreed to be one of the nicest stages here at Glastonbury. And they're going to play a lovely gig. Would you like a few band facts about them?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's have the jingle.
Glastonbury band facts. Facts.
Worth waiting for, wasn't it? Did you know, Joe, that the band, and you might be interested in this, was originally formed by Steven Spielberg, Christian Bale, and J.G. Ballard? J.G. Ballard wrote the lyrics, and Spielberg played keyboards, did backing vocals, and Christian Bale did the singing.
I did know that.
Did you?
Tell me something I don't know.
Well, Luke Steele from Sleepy Jackson joined the band, and then he tried to take over from them in a coup. He booted them out of the band. Spielberg and Ballard went without much complaint, but Christian Bale refused to go initially. Joe's doing like he's trying to give me appropriate emotional faces to engage
with. I'm doing my best.
You are doing great, man. I was just, you know, appreciating it. I'm not even going to finish.
He probably didn't take it very well, did he, Bale, on recent form?
No.
I mean, it's the stab in the dark.
Yeah,
for no, what direction you were going in.
Luke Steele, he basically waged a campaign of psychological terror based on taunts. He used to taunt Christian about his intelligence. And until Christian finally got fed up and he left to pursue an acting career, which sadly never worked out.
I like that film.
Did you know Empire of the Sun?
Yeah.
It's a great film, man.
B-52s, Cadillac of the Skies. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's my favourite line.
They should have got the B-52s in there. Mm. They could have a little musical cameo. Mm. In the Love Shack!
Like that. That would have, that would have lifted it.
In the Love Camp! You know, because they were in a prisoner of war camp,
yes,
weren't they? It's all working out. Here, do you want one more Empire of the
Yes,
Sun?
Please.
Actually, I've got a couple more for you. Did you know that, ironically, for someone as ruthless as Luke, he is gripped by a terrible fear of spiders? He's got arachnophobia. He had therapy to try and overcome his arachnophobia, but he quit the course halfway through. Now he's afraid of spies.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Look,
Come on.
I've got two more band facts about Empire of the
Sun.
Quickly. But they're rubbish. I'll give you one of the two before we go into the news, right? Because this is quite an important one. Luke has... He's had a small auto-tune device fitted into his downstairs, you know, passage in order to make his airborne toxic events more tuneful. And several of them have actually turned up on the last Empire of the Sun album.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that where he gets the idea of the melody, or does he record them straight out of the oven?
Yeah, straight out of the oven, and then the rest of the guys improvise.
You don't want to get your face too close to the oven. When you open the door, we can singe your hair.
You could cut the atmosphere here with a ballpoint pen.
The biggest game of the season, the biggest game of England's career.
It all hangs on this. If we don't win this one, we're not allowed to play ever again.
Stay tuned, you're in the right place for the most up-to-the-minute informed commentary on today's hugely significant match.
Joe, let's talk tactics.
Of course, it is a controversial lineup. The team has been carefully selected from the cream of the country's players.
Captain, of course, is Rooney, and his executive is Corky. Angela is playing right flank. Mandy Lyons in goal, as usual. Corden is a last-minute substitution for Trent Darby, who had to drop out due to depression.
James Corden, who's shown such amazing form in his ITV2 series, has been recruited now to play for the team.
He's a live one, though. He can often be a combustible character, and there's no telling whether he's going to get into difficulties with some of the German teams. He's particularly... I know that he's got history with Professor Heinz Wolf, who's the German captain.
And the team manager, Patrick Stewart, of course, recently had a bit of a fight with Corden, but let's hope they've patched things over, ready for the game.
There was a little bit of anxiety about the British left-back Agamemnon because he lost his socks and he wasn't sure if he was going to get some new ones in time for the game, but he has. He's got new socks, so
that's
fine.
That's a big story, the lost socks. Tune in to the sports news later for more on that. And, of course, the controversial return to the field of Paul Gascoigne this afternoon.
Well, the big three, of course, of the game today are Gascoigne, Hoddle and Pele, who are playing for England, which, I mean...
A controversial move. Gascoigne obviously been through troubled times recently.
But they've got to be happy about Pele, because he's good.
Do you think Gascoigne and
one
Hoddle's
of the best
signings smack of desperation?
You know, I think Hoddle's past it. And that's the thing that not everyone is saying here today. That's the thing you can't say is Hoddle up to it?
And of course, one of the stars of the team, Zane Lowe.
Zane Lowe's on brilliant form. He's been playing wonderful football for about 6 months now.
Wonderful football and the best in cutting-edge indie music.
Plus, he's very intense. He's an incredibly intense player.
He can push the ball merely with his eyes.
What do you think about Yoshi and Bowser?
Bowser's heavy. He's slow to accelerate, but once he gets up to speed, he's indomitable. You really can't knock him off the track.
If the German team are planning to throw any kind of flaming rock...
Well, allow me to correct you there, Adam. Of course, Yoshi has the ability to scoop up the ball with his tongue and then spit it out on fire, which might be useful in the later hours of the game. But that's a skill he should hold back until push comes to shove. Let's have a look at the German lineup. Again, some extraordinary surprises. They've switched a lot of their players at the last minute. Some say it's a sort of tactic to confuse the British, but we're really on top of this lineup now. Of course, Klaus Kinski wearing the number one shirt.
Professor Heinz Wolf has brought in Des Boot at the last moment. He was a substitute for a while, but after Neindanker had to pull out for personal reasons.
Kraftwerk playing in the number two shirt, of course, with their legs tied together, all three of them.
And they're incredibly efficient. I mean, they are robotic, almost.
Of course, Dirk Technik is playing in the number three shirt. He's like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, he is. They're all well-oiled machines, especially Kraftwerk and Dirk Technik. Hofmeister's in goal because he's a bear of a man.
Just one thing to quickly say about Professor Heinz Wolf. Will he or won't he be bringing his trademark contraptions onto the field?
Yes, that's right. He wanted to set up a very elaborate contraption that would propel the ball up a little ramp and then go round a kind of curly slide in the middle, and then a fan would go round and the ball would drop into the goal.
There's rumours that that's against the rules, but we won't be 100% sure until the kickoff. The gods of football, the cream of European football, head-to-head in a match for the ages. What an atmosphere, what a game,
and
what an incredible 90 minutes.
And the celebrities here packed into this backstage area are extraordinary. Who have we got in here?
Well, Floella Benjamin is
Floella
here.
Benjamin is over there.
She's turning heads.
Toby Anstis is on
back
the floor.
On the field.
He's drunk, already very drunk. Russell Crowe is over there, and he's sewing just a big flag and giving out flowers.
And the CBBC cactus is here as well. I forget his name. Prickles?
Prickles, yeah.
He's here as well.
So what a game. It's going to be extraordinary. And we will get back to you as soon as play gets underway to fill you in on how it's all going.
Stay tuned. Adam and Joe, number one for sport.
I'm standing in the nude in the open air. I'm really looking forward to Grizzly Bear. I've got bits of food in my hair.
This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Delighted to be here as well for Glastonbury. And we're going to talk about something a little, off the beaten track right now, inspired by the fact that Joe was talking to his mum earlier on the phone. I mean, the festival is a place to miss your parents, right?
Yeah, I haven't spoken to my mum this weekend, but Adam, how often do you speak to your mum?
Not enough, man.
Obviously, listeners, we're both grown men.
Yeah.
We don't live at home anymore, much as we'd love to.
Neither of us, I think it's safe to say, have the kind of relationship with our parents where we phone them every day and stuff.
Once a week?
Once a week, no, I don't do that.
Really?
No.
You see, if a week goes by and I haven't spoken to my mum, I'll feel a little bit upset.
I mean, that's what a lot of people say if they don't speak to their mum every day.
Every day, I know. Yeah. A lot of people speak to mum every day. Here's my problem, listeners, that I'd like your help with. My mum's a very loving, lovely woman. Obviously, I love her very deeply.
I can vouch for that. Do you mind me saying I love her too?
Do you? No, that's fine. No, that's good. She's a bringer of love.
She's a great woman.
When I speak to her after the conversation, after all the catch-up, the chit-chat, she will say to me, lots of love, all my love, see you very soon. My problem is I can't say I love you back.
Wow. What about so what do you end up with?
I end up saying, thanks. Lots of love, Joe. Lots of love to you. I just go, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mum.
Bye.
Thanks for the love.
And that makes it's not that I can't say it back. It's just that I don't. What do you say in reply to that? Oh, lots of love back to you. It sounds a bit banal. You know what I mean?
Well, are you worried it's going to make you less manly? I mean, it's better than saying thanks, I suppose, is better than saying ditto.
Yeah. Do you know what I end up saying? I end up saying, give my love to Daddy,
uh-huh.
I would say. But for something stops me from saying it to her. Is this a profound Oedipal problem?
I don't know what it is.
What do you say when you sign off from your mum?
I've got the same thing, man. I had the same thing the other day. She came to stay for the weekend, and I went out round the corner to buy some milk or whatever, and she phoned me up while I was out and said, oh, I'm going now, I'm driving off. And I felt really bad that I wasn't there to say goodbye to her. And I hadn't seen her for ages anyway. And it had been one of those weekends where there was a lot going on and I felt we didn't really have any heart-to-hearts.
You say, I love you, bye, all the time.
Yeah, but I don't...
On the show, you say, I love you, bye. You could say that to your mum. Yeah. I love you, bye.
I love you, bye. Like that.
That's all I need to learn to do.
No, but I mean, it's funny. It's easy to say in a ludicrous way. It's not easy if you mean it, though. I mean, that's tough. And so I totally sympathise with your problem. What I want to say is, bye, Mummy, I love you. I wish I spoke to you more often. I wish that we hung out and had great conversations, but our lives keep us apart for whatever reason.
That's too much, isn't it?
It's way too much.
Way too much.
I mean, you might even say it's too much for a radio show.
Do you think? I want to know from the listeners, though, what's the right thing to say to your parents, given that you do love them?
Yeah.
At the end of a phone call.
But we know the right thing to say. It's the trick is saying it. How do you say it?
What is the right thing to say?
I love you. Is it not? You reckon that's too much?
I think it's too much. I love you.
No, you don't have to say it like that.
I wouldn't say it like that. I love you.
I love you. Obviously, you're not going to say it like that.
This is the Big British Castle broadcasting on the emergency Glastonbury frequency. We are being held hostage in a field by some cartoon ponces and a man pretending to be a cockney. Please send help immediately. Over.
You join us 10 minutes into the game, the England versus Germany playoff here in the World Cup 2010. Adam and Joe reporter from the Glastonbury Festival, the home of football.
Hoddle running along, star jumps, grabs the ball. Boots it to Pelé. Pelé gets it and passes it to Agamemnon.
Agamemnon tackled roughly by Kinski. Kinski in possession of the ball. Kinski stripping his shirt off, reciting poetry, provocative poetry now, dribbling towards the goal. Kinski back on form, passes to Kraftwerk. Kraftwerk all with their legs tied together. Beautiful robotic manoeuvres. Kraftwerk to Lufthansa. Lufthansa, oh, late takeoff by Lufthansa.
And Autobahn's got it. He's grabbed it off Lufthansa. He's booted it down to Schiffer. And Hofmeister is looking very pleased in goal in the German side. He doesn't have to do any work at all at the moment. But Mandy Lyons looking in trouble for the British team. And Liebfrau Milk has got it off Guten Tag. Passes it to Merkel. Over to Hasselhoff. Oh, Otto Barnes got hold of it. Franz Ferdinand to Base Hunter.
Here comes Liebfrau Milk. Liebfrau Milk on the inside looking a little shaky. Possibly a little the worse for wear. Liebfrau Milk to Guten Tag. Guten Tag. Merkel to Merkel. Merkel scores.
Oh!
It's 1-0 to Germany.
Right down to Otto Barn and through to the middle and right past Gascoigne, Zane Lowe and Agamemnon.
Look at the look on Yoshi's face. Yoshi and Bowser really despondent.
Corky's hanging his head in shame there, and Rooney has gone over into the corner.
A shot there
had
of
a sandwich.
A shot there of the Wags on the British Wags bench. Lara Croft hugging a tearful Gwyneth Paltrow.
Angela Lansbury is helping
Dame Judi Dench up. She's fallen over.
The two Fergies, Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas.
And Jenny Murray is weeping into her sandwich. Well, the final score at the end of the match, 25-1. England's hopes shattered, lying in a pool of vomit.
Hordes of surgeons now approaching the British fans in order to gut them. Half of them are now actually fully gutted. The rest of them standing in lines waiting for the gut removal operation.
The news coming in that James Corden and Dizzy Rascal's single is to be pulped, even though it's made of plastic. It's going to be smashed up. All the digital downloads will be converted into books and then pulped.
Fans of that single are going to have to sing it backwards for as many times as they sung it forward. This will be enforced by
to unmake it. I mean, no one really expected some of the extraordinary things in that second half that happened to happen. Ben Shepherd coming in to substitute Rooney was an extraordinary and unusual move that...
Well, to be honest, Adam, as soon as the fans saw Shepherd coming on the pitch, we knew the game was over. Obviously a very talented television presenter, but
not a great football
player. Not known
player.
As a footballer, so that did seem like a desperate measure.
What now for the team, then? What kind of things can Rooney expect from his career now?
Well, of course, the losing team will be executed at the Palace on Monday. It will be a gory, bloody day. But
will Stephen Fry be executed? He's a national treasure, though.
Stephen Fry will be doing the executing.
I mean, he was responsible for fumbling a lot of those balls, and he's not a good passer. There was a lot of times when he could have passed to Yoshi and Agamemnon, and he failed to do so because he was too busy with his quips and bon mots.
A lot of questions being asked to Fabio Capello. Why apply Nintendo characters?
You did a real footballer's
pitch.
Name.
Why play an ancient Greek warrior who's been dead for thousands of years?
I'm worried we're going to get beaten up for
why
laughing.
Put Gascoigne back on the pitch with all his drink problems and spousal abuse problems?
Was Pelé really in good enough shape?
And the humiliation of being beaten by Professor Heinz Wolf, who's in his 60s.
And David Hasselhoff.
And the Hasselhoff.
Who scored 16 of the goals in the end.
Klaus Kinski is, of course, dead.
Kraftwerk.
Still, yet he managed to beat the British team.
Scored 6 goals and were an unstoppable robotic force. It's a dark day for British football.
Heavy drinking is the only answer.
Exactly, we're off to do some of that now.
Adam and Joe, our condolences are with you on this dark day for English football.
Glastonbury memories.
I'll never forget Mandy Lampshade in 2003.
She came on stage wearing an actual lampshade on her head. And the crowd were like, what is she wearing on her head? It's that lampshade. And Mandy was like, yeah, it is. So deal with that.
Nelson Pumpkin and the Bouncy Boys in 1976 is something I'll never forget. Nelson had just come out of prison and he was absolutely furious.
The Bouncy Boys played a set that day that was just rubbish.
Keith Harris and Orville last year on the Pyramid Stage.
That was a good show.
They played really well. Cuddles came out, sang a couple of numbers, made Keith cry. Keith got angry and left.
Cuddles beat up Orville.
Orville died, of course, that day, and it was a great show.
Glastonbury memories.
Can we get back to my emotional mother problems?
Oh, yes. Okay. Have the listeners been supplying you with some advice?
They have, yeah. I was saying earlier in the show that I'm having problems when my parents call me, when my mummy calls me. I just don't know how to sign off. She's quite emotional. You know, she's not emotional, but she'll say, I love you, and do all that proper mum stuff. I just find it very difficult to reciprocate, a little like Patrick Swayze in the film Ghost with Demi Moore.
Right,
yeah. That's a different kind of relationship. But do you remember?
Sure.
He always had to say ditto.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little like that, but only with your mum. So thank you for the various bits of advice we've had in. Paul in Brighton says, I have the same problem as Joe. I love my mum, but I feel she should know this anyway, so it doesn't merit a mention. Now, that he's really put his finger on it. You know,
they can
is
take
this
it as
heartless,
read.
He says. Paul in Brighton.
But this is the thing, as a father myself, I project a few years into the future and think about what I would like in my twilight years. I'm not saying my mom is in her twilight years, but you know what I mean? Like, when I was older, I would miss
I think
it.
You want your kids to be hard.
You reckon?
Yeah, cold and hard. Mm. Tough, cold and hard, ready to take on the world.
I'm a bit of a weed bag, though.
Here's one from, how do you say that name there by my thumb?
Shan? Shan? S-I-A-N?
Sean.
Sean.
Ian Jervis. My dad never says he loves me when signing off on the phone either. I make a point of saying it and staying very quiet afterwards just to make him uncomfortable. I think it must be a boy problem.
You know, my dad doesn't have any sign off, my dad. He will finish his last sentence and the phone goes down. That's
really?
It. Yeah. Nothing like
someone in a movie.
You know, like how sometimes it's quite hard to hang up to conclude a phone conversation. You know, sometimes there's a lot of awkward stumbling. All right, see, okay, all right, then cheers. And to read the goodbye signals, not a problem
Nothing.
For my dad. Clunk. That's the end of the convo.
Will Bowie says to mother, "Believe me, mother, the feeling is mutual. Please tell me you understand." That's his suggestion.
That's efficient.
And finally, from H in Leeds. That's H from Steps.
Might be.
"Hello, Joe. I'm the same with my mother. When she says, 'I love you,' I found it's easiest to say, 'Same to you. Go for it, man.'"
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, same believe. To you. Same to you.
Oh, I see. He's saying to you. Right, right.
Back to mum. Oh, same to you.
And the go for it, man, is for you.
It's for me, yeah.
I thought he was saying that to his mum.
Same to you. Go for it, mum.
Go for it, mum. You could do it.
I don't know. I haven't got anything there I can use.
Listen,
really.
We were discussing this while the record was playing, and we got to the root of your problem.
What was the root
you
of
You know
my
what
problem?
The right thing to say to your mum is.
What is it? What was it?
It's, "I love you, mum." Or lots of love, or something like that. Something that just has the word love in it. That's all you need. But you can't even say that, Iceman.
It's not because I'm an Iceman. It's because I'm overly emotional.
You're a very nice
I can't
man.
Do things by halves.
Yeah. In fact, there's a film with Rissi fans coming out about you, isn't
there? Is there?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Iceman.
But thanks for your advice, everybody. I'll keep working on that.
I'm having a lovely time at the festival, though I can't remember where I put my tent. I've been walking round and round, but my tent cannot be found, and I've lost my keys and wallet and my friends. This is fun.
Tomorrow, Joe, it's back to normality. Back on the train.
Oh, dear.
To Lundump. And I'm looking forward very
you
much.
You going back to Lundump?
Well, I've got to go back to Lundump to get the train to Norwich. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to all the phone conversations I'm going to be listening to on the train tomorrow.
Yes, that'll be fun.
Be really good. But the other day I was on the train with a friend of mine. We'll call him Gavin Zipwire for the purposes of this show. And he turned out to be a loud talker, not just on the phone. He made a few conversations, but just in general chatting to me. Very loud talker.
Really?
How are you with loud talkers? Because I like to keep quite quiet. on the train.
I kind of like them. There was a guy next to me on the way down. He was doing some sort of business deal about DVDs or something, arranging some sort of production.
Who's Stevie D?
Stevie D's. I don't know. Relation of Stevie Nicks. I don't know. There was someone else arranging when to go and see a friend. "I can't do Wednesday. No, Wednesday's no good. I've got Suki's party. But Thursday, can you do Thursday? Oh, no, I can't do Thursday." It was quite fun.
Yeah.
I like listening to it.
I told you once, I think, about this guy that was behind me once, and he was saying, "I was in the hotel, yes. And yes, I stayed in that room, yes. No, I will not pay for the carpet. No, I won't pay for the carpet. I was very ill. I was extremely ill, so I won't pay for the cleanup of the carpet." And it went on like that.
He shouldn't pay for the carpet if he was ill. It's hardly his fault.
Exactly. Well, that's what he was saying. And then he broke the lav as well.
Did he?
Yes. He said, "I'm not going to pay for a new toilet. That's not my fault. It was already broken."
I think it's fun. It's a little window into other people's lives.
What if you want to shut that window?
Well,
just have some peace.
Do it with a slap with the back of your hand.
Sometimes it feels like that. But I mean, do you? I was thinking, like, with my friend, seeing as he was doing the exact
Gavin
thing.
Gavin Zipwire.
He's doing the loud talking, both on the phone and to me personally. I was thinking, you know, and he's a really nice guy, so I felt bad.
Lovely.
You know, Gav, right?
Gav. ZP.
So I thought this is an annoying situation because I really like Gav, But I feel like there's a distance between us now because he's doing the loud talking. So should I say something to him and like keep it on a friendly basis? I just felt like it was not appropriate. I felt that that would make him feel self-conscious if I did. What would you have done? Just put up and shut up?
Oh, well, what was the conversation about?
I mean, it was totally normal.
But it was just loud. It was the volume. It was the volume.
Very loud.
I mean, you were embarrassed on behalf of other people around you.
And I like to keep it quiet. I like to blend in, you know, not stand out.
I have to say, occasionally my lady partner speaks on the phone inappropriately loud around the house.
Oh, yeah.
Does yours do that?
Yes.
I tell her to shush it down. She doesn't like it. I go, shh. It's as if she's got her Walkman on or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like people with their Walkman on and then they talk to you and they misjudge the level of volume necessary.
Absolutely.
She doesn't like it.
I shushed someone on the train the
other
day.
Suffer in silence, I think that's the key.
Suffer in silence.
Or go to the quiet carriage.
Oh, I was in the quiet carriage,
In that case, the slap.
You know, because people don't... The other day there was someone in the quiet carriage...
I tell you what, grab the phone out of the hand, stamp on it. Uh-huh. And say, shut up!
You know what I had a fantasy, an elaborate fantasy about doing, was getting out my phone and switching it onto movie mode and filming the guy while he was talking, right? And this is a different person, not my friend.
You've done this kind of thing before, though.
I thought I would film him
Didn't you film a policeman or something?
Yeah, let's not go over that again. No, not a policeman, but a parking warden.
That's right. You chase them down
the street. Yes, yes. Don't bring that up again. Don't bring my previous
I'm just trying to make you learn from your past mistakes.
I'm not saying I'm going to do
this. If you don't bring it up, then how are you going to learn?
It's a fantasy. I'm allowed my fantasies.
So what would you do with the footage of the person talking loudly on the phone?
The footage is not the issue. What I do is I film the guy. I'm right in his face.
He'd probably talk louder.
And then he'd say, what are you doing? He'd say, hang on a second. There's some guy filming me. What are you doing? I'd say, oh, I'm just filming you so I can keep the conversation and play it back to lots of other people later. He'd say, what are you talking about? I'm allowed to make a phone call. Sure you are. And I'm really enjoying listening to it. But it's so fantastic that I'd really like to play it to lots of other people. How do you think that would go?
I think you'd be more embarrassed than he was.
Of course I would.
Yeah.
Because I'd be a massive Wally. But still, it's a nice fantasy.
Hello, this is Damon Albarn. I seem to have lost or mislaid some of my confidence. If anyone finds it, can they please hand it in to a member of staff? I really need it for later on. Thanks.
Probably what you're thinking right now, listeners, I know Joe is, I wish I had some more facts about MGMT.
How do you know what I'm thinking?
Well,
we've
known each other a long time. Here's a little sting to introduce them.
Band facts!
What was that? Play that again, James.
Band facts!
What is that effect even called?
No, I found it on
that's amazing.
Somewhere on my hard drive. I thought I'm going to have that one. I'd forgotten. That was the last. I knew that was going to be the last one of the festival. So,
well, you really saved the best till last.
Sure I did. Did you know that MGMT stands for Macaroni Gives Me Tummy Ache?
Really?
Yeah. Or possibly Men Get More Totty.
Right.
I'm not sure. Lead singer...
Are you just guessing on both of those?
No, I know it stands for Macaroni Gives Me Tummy Ache, but I'm guessing...
No, end the sentence there, man.
Okay. Lead singer Jimothy Sparkles and guitarist Sam Bendyman met while working at an amethyst shop in Brooklyn. And they bonded over a shared love of rabbit hutch design. Did you know that about the band?
Jimothy's a good name.
That's his name.
It's like Billiam. You fuse two names together.
Put a little portmanteau name. Their new album was recorded in... And this is very interesting. MGMT's new album was recorded in 1992 by the band The Soup Dragons, who'd been issued detailed instructions by MGMT on a fax that was sent backwards through time.
I don't know about these facts, man.
They're not that
something's
good,
not right.
Some of them are a little off. I mean, I checked these with Wikipedia and
in that case
some of them are verified. They're weasel words, maybe. That's what they call, I think, on Wikipedia when something is an unverified statement. It's called a weasel word. I'm not even sure I'm right about that. That's how unsure I am of my facts.
Let's have another one.
MGMT sometimes deliberately dress as morons to confuse people. Did you know that? Come on. This is the penultimate band fact of Glastonbury.
How can you tell when they're doing that deliberately or when they're trying to be cool?
Exactly.
How can you tell? How can you tell?
Well, that's
the thing. What confuses
that's
people.
They're never quite sure. You're like, oh, is this one of the times that they...
quite make sense. Let's have the last one.
Did you know when on tour, the band MGMT travel everywhere by rocket? It's not, which you would think would be bad for the planet, right? Or the fuel consumption. Ah, it's not powered by regular fuel. It runs on squares.
Right. Like square crisps?
No, square people.
Square people, like uncool people.
Uncool people.
Really? Where do they get them from?
Oh, there's people like that everywhere, man.
And do they kill them?
What do you reckon?
They burn them as fuel?
Sure.
Do they?
Yes.
That's awful.
I'm not the one who does it.
Are you sure that's a fact?
No. Yes.
It is. You are sure. You're like the new Norris McWhirter.
Yeah, I know. You're going to miss band facts. Are you? Where are you going to go for your facts now?
Where am I going to go for my facts? Of course I'm going to miss band facts. That was amazing. I've learned so many things.
Yeah. And that's the end of the podcast. Now here's a goodbye link.
Thank you. If there's anyone famous in the audience, could you please come backstage and tell me I'm brilliant? I'm quite depressed.
Well, that's it for our final Glastonbury podcast, folks. We're here in our favourite spot just outside the BBC TV coverage zone. Alan Yentob has just walked by.
Has he?
And once again, I missed the opportunity to set up an elaborate visual prank by popping him in a tent with a can of lager and writing a sign that says, Alan Tentyob, and popping it outside.
The day will come one day.
One day I'll do it.
Thanks for listening, though, to our three Glastonbury podcasts. We've had a brilliant time here. We hope you've enjoyed listening to our waffle. And don't forget, we'll be back on Six Music later this year, so keep an eye on our blog.
Yeah, sorry we can't be more specific, but one way or another it is going to happen. So until that time, when we're back together again, have a wonderful rest of 2010. Take care of yourselves. Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the sky. Do you think I have to pay money to Casey Kasem when I say that? No, because that's not his original phrase, is it?
I have no idea. You're in charge of the facts.
All right, that's true, I am.
But yeah, keep an eye out on the blog, because when we know when we're coming back, that's where we will announce it with great fanfare. And, you know, there'll be bits and bobs popping up on that blog anyway during the rest of the year. And
anyway,
our next little bit of... yeah, but you get the message.
Yeah, boy. Listen, who's up for a beer and tequila and then a little slice of Orbital? James?
I'm there.
Joe?
Yeah, well, 5 minutes and I'll go home.
He's not that keen. Come on, let's go. Cheers, listeners. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
BBC Six Music Podcasts. If you liked Adam and Joe, why not try Jarvis Cocker's Six Music Show, Sundays from 4. Six Music.
I go into my bedroom and find some boring clothes. I put them on and make a cone, and before anybody knows, I have become Neil Tennant and his friend Chris Lowe's. A nice man.